An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 15. Condemned. In a sense, I am Peter Pan's successor. Captain Littlejack held up his hook to silence her. No, lest ye ask, he growled. She didn't teach me to fly. Pip hadn't been about to ask. It must be a sore point. But that was only because I never wanted to fly. I wouldn't have wanted to be like that namby-pamby-pan. No, flying is for birds and small boys. He leaned back in the chair, crossing one booted ankle over the other thigh. As you can see, I'm not a small boy, but a man. A very, very powerful man. His hook tapped the boot's heel with each very. Belle made me that way. You see, she's not on your side. He looked fondly up at the caged, tiny, sleeping form. She doesn't care what happens to you. She doesn't care what happened to your parents. You do know what happened to your parents, don't you? His voice was ever so soft, like a knife slicing silk. She struggled to keep her face normal, but she knew she paled at the memory of those people fading into nothing. I see you do. He smiled. The gold crowns on his teeth shone. He probably stole those crowns out of one of his victims' mouths, she thought. She cares about only three things, the captain continued. Herself, the Neverland, and me. Not necessarily in that order. He winked at Piper. Vile man. Pip was long past keeping a stony or innocent expression. She sneered, past caring how it affected her chances of escape. Perhaps she told you we fought, the captain continued. 'Tis true. His hook wandered to his faint mustache, tracing the line from lip to goateed chin. But not about me feeding humans to the dragon. Not about me ridding the world of Peter Pan's heirs. Your parents, that is. I didn't know ye existed until recently. We fought because she's getting old. The captain rose, walked to the cage, and watched the snoring pixie for a moment in silence. She knows she's going to die in due course, as all living things do, and she's grasping at straws to turn back the clock. Mind you, she brought it on herself. He wandered to the table again. Clamping his claw onto a spoon, he loaded it with caviar and shoveled it into his mouth. Sure you wouldn't like some. Piper shook her head, feeling sick to her stomach. She had the most awful thought that he was telling her the truth. I'm sure she hasn't told you this part of the story. He brandished the empty spoon at her, smiling like a kid with a secret. The dragon. You've met. Sincaraz. Belle wants you to get rid of it, am I right? I'd bet me ship and all me treasure she didn't tell you how it came to be here in the first place. He leaned toward Piper and whispered, as if they were partners in a conspiracy. She summoned it. He stood tall again, nodding sagely. She traded 20 years of her youth, in fact, for the summoning spell. 'Twas Belle who brought the curse down on the Neverland. Piper's horror must have shone on her face. Every time she thought this couldn't get worse, it did. The evil man was telling her Belle called in the beast that had consumed her parents. That little pixie had pretended to be her friend. She'd cry right now if she weren't standing in this awful pirate's cabin. Oh, yes, you see, I'd become captain of the Jolly Roger, as she and I had planned. She'd help me gain victories no pirate had gained before or ever will after me. In fact, I'd beaten all me adversaries, especially the ones in the Neverland. No lost boys left, no Indians left. He made a face and rolled his eyes. Boring. His expression returned to what she supposed was normal, and he continued. He was really getting into the swing of his story now. His cheeks glowed pink and his eyes sparkled. Belle always preferred staying close to this wretched island. She'd get terribly homesick on long forays at sea. But she knew I'd no reason to stay here any longer, not without challenges to meet, so she went about summoning a worthy opponent for me, as she so aptly put it. She journeyed to the Fairy Kingdom, to the Crystal Palace itself. Of course, the King and Queen of the Fairies, Oberon and Titania, wouldn't interfere with affairs of the Neverland. However, me clever fairy godmother found Pearl, a fairy known to dabble in black magic. Pearl gave her the spell in exchange for Belle's youth. He lifted his hook in victory. She traded her beauty to keep me. Just like she's trading you to keep me. The captain did a sort of jig while pointing at Piper. She doesn't need you anymore, and I certainly don't need you. Which is why... Flee! He bellowed. Piper turned in time to see the first mate jerk upright from his standing nap against the wall. Aye, aye, Captain! He saluted so hard she heard the clunk of his head bouncing off the wall. I was just saying, Flea, Captain Littlejack's tone returned to soft syrup, that the company of this fair, rather plain maiden is no longer required. How shall we dispense with her, Flea? Flea's eyes opened wide. But, Captain, she's just a slip of a girl. She might make a good scullery maid. He trailed off at the captain's dark look. I know, Captain. You shot the ship's boy last week. Perhaps she could take his place. No, Flea! The glasses on the table quivered, and two of the candles went out. One golden fork fell to the floor. Flea rushed to pick it up. I said, Flea, the captain purred, how shall we dispose of her? Dispose, as in gone forever, Flea. This time a knife and a crystal goblet crashed to the floor. Captain, aye, aye, Captain, how indeed, Captain? Little Jack grinned. Now you've got the right of it, Flea. Let me see. Hanging? No, too ordinary. Draw and quarter her? Oh, no, that's right. The last pirate I used the contraption on broke it. He was too tough to rip. Sweat broke out on Piper's brow. She squeezed her hands together so their shaking would not be seen. We need something suited to a pan. She can't be allowed to fly away, nor do we want her anywhere near a sword. The captain paced as he spoke, all the while eyeing his victim. Of course, we don't need to worry about a rescue. Her fairy is quite incapacitated. He tossed the jewel-encrusted cover over the cage, retying the net. I know. He walked up to Piper and bent his face close to hers. Not so close that she could bite him, unfortunately. Death by drowning. Piper's heart sank and her mouth went dry. She resisted the temptation to squeeze her eyes shut. She didn't cry or plead, but she must have looked scared because he looked delighted. Yes, that's it. The tide is just starting out now, Flea. It's, what, 5:30 in the morning? He strode to the table. Lifting the cloth, he opened a drawer and consulted a chart. The next high tide is at 7:02 this evening. Sunset is at 6:30. I'd rather watch her drown in broad daylight, but twilight will have to do. All right, Flea, he raised his voice in a command. Take her out and stake her to the old pier. Be sure you weigh her down with plenty of stones in her pockets. Tie some to her waist and ankles as well. But, Captain, the old pier's still covered with water, Captain. When the water is low enough, Flea, Little Jack spoke slowly, as if to a mentally deficient person. Blast it all! You're becoming a blithering blighter! Dismissed! Making little waving motions with his claw, he turned away, seeming to forget them completely. Come along, little miss, Flea said. Grabbing the rope binding her hands together, he pulled. Piper stumbled after him in a daze.